We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the number for kids.
Mully and Hall. Live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
In the air to right field. Eaton's back. Eaton's at the wall. Eaton falls, and this is gone. Two-run home run, Nico Goodrum.
Yeah, Lucas just said he felt like he was didn't have much left in the tank that inning. Was there any indicators of that from your view, or anything you were trying to you were noticing in him as that inning went on?
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said I didn't have much left in the tank. I asked him about the seventh.
Well, that's my fault for not recognizing, because I looked at it. You know, he got walked the leadoff guy, which was like, wasn't good, and he gets two outs. At that point, like I said, I was confident he'd get the third out.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score. That's Tony La Russa. I gotta go back and look at it, because I was falling asleep as I watched it, and I thought he had one out there. I don't know. What are you gonna do, David? It seemed to me like you were hoping for a double play. I gotta go back and look at the tape again.
Is that what he said?
He just said.
Is that what he said? I mean, look. By the time that you meet the media, I know this is probably nitpicking, you haven't had that conversation. You don't know. You shouldn't be learning this stuff secondhand. Any manager with how many coaches do you have on the bench anyway? We make a big deal. Oh, so-and-so hired a bullpen coach last week. Oh, they interviewed so-and-so for the bullpen coach. The pitching coach is this. If you have all these resources – all these resources sitting next to you, all this information that you are armed with, and you're watching a tired pitcher labor in the seventh inning, I don't know that you want to learn from a reporter post-game during a Zoom conference that that your pitcher, your starter, your ace, was acknowledging that he was maybe out of gas. Is that what he said? Yes! Anyone could see that he was tired when the mound visit before the home run, you thought, okay, all right. You see what everybody else sees. It's time. You got the best bullpen in baseball. You're going to go to the best bullpen in baseball. You're going to protect this. You know, you're going to get out of this. No. No. Let's give him another chance. Boom. Who was surprised?
Okay. So Tony La Russa is 76. Is that his age? He's an elderly gentleman. Ethan Katz is 37. I don't want to call it an age. Is Ethan Katz intimidated by Tony La Russa, the Hall of Famer? Is Ethan Katz going to go up to Tony La Russa and say, "Hey, we really shouldn't look at he's struggling here. That second at bat, we got an out, but that was nine pitches. He's hitting triple figures. Maybe we should take him out." And I don't know that he didn't. I don't know that he did. I don't know what the relationship is between the two of them. I'm just curious as to whether or not, when a guy is twice your age, if you're a little, intimidated by him, especially if he's a Hall of Fame manager.
when you have an age, an age and experience disparity, as they do. But maybe there's a generation gap, but I'm just worried about the generation gap or the difference in age and experience, Molly. The communication gap is the big problem here, it appears, because this is the second time in this young season, and we are not even into May yet. But remember the Mariners game. Remember the Matt Foster decision. He was left out there way too long, and we wondered after that one, after Tony La Russa took responsibility, which was good of him to do. He's the manager. But remember, he was saying, well, that's on me. That's on me. I left him in too long. I made the mistake. Well, who's in your ear? Who's telling you? You're not the only set of eyes in that dugout. You've got to have other people seeing what is obvious to everyone watching. So that's a really good question and a really valid point. Ethan Katz, whether it's the pitching coach or the bullpen, the bench coach, has got to be in front of Tony La Russa saying, okay, asking the questions that everyone else is wondering.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Listen, our thanks to the fine folks at NBC Sports Chicago on the low light there, the Goodrum homer. That was in the seventh inning, and you also heard Tony La Russa there post game. So that's
is that what he said?
That's what he did say, and that's that was the seventh inning when they scored the runs and the game changed. But in the eighth inning, they got a couple guys on base, and they had an opportunity. These are the tying run is at the plate, okay?
Yes.
And you know, you're in the eighth inning, then you got guys on first and second, and you go with Leary and Billy Hamilton that
right.
were coming up.
Grandal walked.
Yeah.
And so Hamilton comes up.
Yes.
And so you've got Mercedes in second, Grandal walked.
Yes.
And so you have the tying run at the plate, correct?
Okay.
And Hamilton is the tying run at the plate, okay?
Well, what's wrong with Andrew Vaughn?
Well, thank you.
Would you not? I mean, I know he doesn't play much, and he's a DH. He's a backup DH and a backup left fielder. But he's a power guy. He's a hitter. He's a guy that's on the team to hit a double, not to just make contact. Maybe he's got a homer in that bat. Does Billy Hamilton?
Billy Hamilton has homered 22 times in 2,852 major league at bats. What do you think?
Okay, so he can do it then.
Okay, sorry. I'm just saying that to me was almost as egregious as not making the pitching move. And it's so easy to second guess in retrospect. Oh. We get it. That's baseball, yep. Okay? But when you didn't learn from Hamilton's who struck out swinging, next is Lurie Garcia. Love Lurie.
Yes.
He's the khaki pants. He's good for any occasion, right? You can use him in a lot of different variety of ways. Lurie Garcia is all Mr. Versatility. I don't know that I want him up there if he's a tying run, if I have Andrew Vaughn, rookie power hitter, on my bench.
But it underscores that maybe they don't trust Andrew Vaughn. To me, I guess Billy Hamilton could play center. But the move, you had brought Billy Hamilton in to play left. I mean, the move was to have Vaughn hit and then he could go out and play left. But I guess without Louis Robert there, maybe you were hesitant about giving up something in the ninth. But I think at that point you're three runs down and you got to get the tying run to the plate. You got to have someone that could tie the game.
You do, because Yerminator did what he needed to do, right? He singled. Grandal gets the walk. You got base runners. You got a chance. Now, you haven't hit with base and runners in scoring position all night. 0 right. for 13. And, yes, that is as bad as sticking with your ace, you know, who you trust and you should be conditioned to trust, and all those things are true. But this was a bad night for the manager, and he's going to have these. And I don't think that we need to – it sounds like probably to some people we're overreacting to Tony La Russa because – It's easy and it's low hanging fruit. But when you have the tying run at the plate, two at bats in a row, in a pivotal moment in the game, and you do have a guy like Vaughn who stays on the bench or weren't there better options than the two guys you sent up there when you needed a home run? It was 5-2. You had two runners on.
Yeah. The you know? The thing about Andrew Vaughn is he's supposed to be a designated hitter. He's not a striker-outer, right? And you left a couple of striker-outers in, as it turned out, instead of going to the hitter. 312-644-6767. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Tyler is in Carroll Stream. Good morning, Tyler.
Hi, Tyler.
Hey, morning, guys. Thanks for taking me.
Sure.
I'll just give you a quick background. We moved to Chicago a few years ago from Milwaukee. I'm still a Brewers fan. But these White Sox are young, exciting. I was pretty excited to be close to them, kind of as a second team in the American League here. But when they hired La Russa, that excitement was sucked out for me. He has been so far from this game. Like it or not, the game is changing. It was a bad fit from the beginning. I know the experience. I know that the White Sox are ready for this playoff push. But this has been it was a bad signing, and I think you're seeing it play out here, and it's just really depressing. You guys are young, exciting. I think this was a bad fit, but that's all I got. I'll hang up, you guys. Thanks for the call.
Tyler.
Yeah, thanks, Tyler.
Appreciate the phone call.
I mean, I don't know that we're going there. I think this is part – I mean, we're talking about a baseball season. This is one game, and it's part of the entirety of a season, and we'll see – if at the end of it we're having these conversations about exactly what Tyler was asking about. But the reality is Tony La Russa is the manager. The reality is he's a Hall of Fame manager, and he's been gone for a while, and his staff is – I mean, does Dave Duncan come up to him and say, hey, you know, we got to pull this guy? If Coop was there, does he come over and, you know, hey, we got to get him out? I mean, I'm just wondering how it would work with somebody else. And is this just part of the developmental process? Is this just part of what happens and how the communication, how you break through and how you get to a better place? Very early in the season, we're not throwing away the year. And
no.
And La Russa has forgotten more about baseball than any of us know. And I'm not dissing him, but I do think – it's fair game to wonder about the communication within the dugout when you see these things happen. Is Tony, is he on board? Is he following the plot here? And is someone supposed to help him with that? And what happened last night? How did you make that mistake?
Well, I like your Coop imitation almost as much as I like your Ryan Pace imitation, just for the record. I think I like your Pace, but just a little bit more. But look, Mully, I don't need to tell you this. You're the last person I need to reinforce this idea to, but you're the White Sox who have declared yourself the best team in baseball, right? Remember that, Tim Anderson? Okay. And I think that's great. And I love that about this White Sox team, the swagger. Bring it on. You love the confidence. You love the flair with which they play. You love the way they are changing the game. Isn't that a hashtag? So when you want to be that team, this comes with that. You scrutinize April losses to a Tigers team that's the worst team in baseball, kicking the ball around like a little league outfit, and you have an opportunity to win a game with your ace on the mound. You get this scrutiny. You get this second guessing. When you hire a Hall of Fame manager and he is responsible in part in two bad losses in the first month of the season, at least, yeah, that's fair game. So you want to be a World Series contender, this comes with that status, and it's okay to question these things. We're not saying Tony La Russa was a bad hire, but we're saying is every game matters, and you can lose a division title in April just as easily as you can win one. Wait, what is it with Stoney says? You can't win it in April, but you can lose it. And last night was a regrettable loss.
Yeah, it was regrettable. It was a kind of game. And again, I mean, they did a lot of things wrong in that game. They failed to take advantage of a lot of the opportunities that were laid out in front of them. And, you know, I get it. They were undergunned. I mean, I watched the whole thing unfold. I think we have a texter blaming thanks, guys, for talking sweep of the Tigers yesterday. Talk sweep when you've won the first two games. I think when you see a team like when you see the White Sox on at the verge of getting over 500 for the eighth time and they got Texas coming in, you can talk sweep. But when it's a division rival and it's a team that even though they're garbage, there's a familiarity there, I don't think it's time to talk sweep. And I feel like I was dragged into the sweep conversation, Dave.
I take responsibility for talking sweep, and I'm really sorry. We did not have a consensus for the sweep talk on this show, and we should have had a consensus.
Someone said I just made Coop sound South African. I was trying to do my It's a Wonderful Life. Out you two pixies, go through the door, out the window. That's what I hear when I hear Coop talk. How about if Ryan Pace was the hitting coach or Ryan Pace was the pitching coach? What would that conversation be like with Tony La Russa?
Tony?
He's tired. I think he'd like it. Let's try Big Daddy. Big Daddy's in New Lenox. Hey, Big Daddy.
What's up, Big Daddy?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I would have put that on La Russa yesterday. I'd put it on the Sox going 0 for 11 with runners in scoring position. And Giolito had 7 days rest. I mean, 114, 118 pitches, that's not too much. I mean, that Cat's the pitching coach. He should be the one talking to him, saying, hey, how do you feel out there? I mean, that's what we hired him for, right? So I'll listen and hang out. Thanks for taking the call, guys.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean,
Big Daddy, he was gassed. Yeah. He said he was tired. He was tired. By his own admission, he was tired. It was like Lucas Giolito was looking over to the dugout almost like hey, you want to get me? I'm good.
All right. Yeah. Well, we got the Big Six next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
When you look back at team president Ted Phillips' now infamous overview of the Bears,
have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
Do you wonder if this team need bother any other position other than QB?
How mean-spirited is it to bring that back before the draft?
Didn't expect that.
That one will live in infamy, though. Yeah. That was glorious. You know, how was the play? I think you need a quarterback, if that's the question. I think you really have to do better at that position than concentrating on perhaps getting the Red Rifle up and running. I don't want to make light of it, but I think that the Bears are sort of quarterback handcuffed, and you know, you've got a guy that has this scheme and is anxious to show you the different methodology, the different plays, the strategy that he can employ, and he can't get to it because you can't get him the trigger man for all of his dreams and hopes and gadgetry. So I think it's a problem for the Bears with the quarterback position. Are you saying take all your picks and try to trade up? You could give your entire draft up, and you still wouldn't have enough picks to get to one of these quarterbacks. That is the absolute truth. You could give up your first, your second, your third, your fifth, and all your sixth rounders, and you wouldn't have enough ammunition to move up to number four. You'd have to start. If you want to move up, you got to start grabbing next year's first and the year after that's first. They are so far removed from the spot where you can get a quarterback that I'm talking about the top five guys. They can get a quarterback if they're satisfied, if they like somebody in the second round. But I think that's the problem, is that it's the position they've got to address. They haven't done enough with it. They haven't been to the playoffs. But other than the winning and other than the quarterback, everything else is there. Is everything else there? We're making a list of all the things they need, but quarterback is a topic.
Well, yeah, but you're not going to get the quarterback that is worth giving up all those assets for. You're not talking about Russell Wilson.
you're not talking about a Pro Bowler. You're talking about a prospect. And no matter how polished that you think that Justin Fields or Mac Jones or Trey Lance, maybe, or how high their potential is, you're not going to give up all of that to move up. At least I would not recommend that. Keep reinforcing that idea. Lean into your strengths. You do have them. You know, you have this idea in Chicago that the Bears are a last place team, okay? They're not. And I know that I'm on an island here, but when you get fixated on the quarterback position and you've got to come out of this with one of those top five quarterbacks going in the first round, that's how mistakes happen. That's how you set franchises back. This isn't the year to do that. This isn't the year to do that. You just don't have enough ammunition. So stay at 20, draft your offensive lineman, maybe your cornerback, fortify your strengths, fortify your offensive line, build that way, try winning that way. And then you go back, maybe you get a quarterback in the second round, you develop him, see how that goes. If it doesn't work, you're not going to be around here in the next regime is going to draft a quarterback in the first round anyway. So play into what you do well and try to make that better.
Pick six! Wow!
After the Bears picked up the fifth-year option on Roquan Smith, perhaps paving the way for a long-term agreement with the Bears, what's his ceiling after a strong 2020 season? How long before he's the best defensive player on the Bears, or is he already?
I don't think he is already. I think that's probably recency bias in asking that question and maybe talking yourself into that notion. Khalil Mack is the best player. I think that goes without saying almost. He can do more perhaps. He gets a lot of attention, but he's the one guy that when you watch the tape, you know, offensive coordinators say, okay, priority one, stop Khalil Mack. But Roquan Smith is showing up more and more. He took a step last year. He took a step that if it's similar next season to the one he took last season, he will be among the elite inside linebackers in the NFL. He's that active, and I think he potentially is that good, Mully. I do think there will come a time, and maybe it's next year, maybe if you see Mac start to take a little bit of a step backward or decline a little bit as a pass rusher, Roquan Smith could be the best player on the Bears' defense. He certainly is going to be the most productive and make the most tackles, and maybe the most noticeable, but I think he still has a little bit of a ways to go before he is that guy. That said, the investment in him is a smart one, and the Bears should do whatever they can, long-term planning, to make sure that he's part of this organization for many years to come.
Yeah, you know, I got a lot of time for Roquan Smith. I think we've seen him develop as a player, and I think he's the rarest of rookies where you actually pick up that extra year and you stay with it. So that hasn't happened with enough of their first-round picks. And obviously I'm talking about Mitch, Leonard Floyd, you name them. Look, I think that that Khalil Mack is going to be the best player on this team for as long as he's here. Khalil Mack, you know, the Bears have been tapping into that First National Bank of Khalil Mack to get some cap space. And the more you do that, the more you have that reckoning later on in the contract. We saw it this year. Kyle Fuller was scheduled to make $20 million, and he signed a $9.5 million deal because the Bears weren't going to give him $20 million, and they didn't want to extend him, apparently, and there was no way of getting that deal done. So I think Khalil Mack, who is scheduled he's got a six-year deal for $141 million that runs through 2024. I think he's going to be the best player on the team for as long as he's here. Now, I don't know if Roquan can take that role in 2023 or he's going to have to wait till 2025. I don't know how long the contract will last for Mac, how long they'll keep him. At some point, they're going to have to look at their salary cap situation. They're in a bit of a bind as we speak. So I would think that Roquan will inherit that, but perhaps not until Mac retires. And who knows? Maybe they'll pick someone that can surpass Roquan Smith. That would be nice.
This is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
What does the increase in dramatic rumors that the San Francisco 49ers are planning on dealing quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo before or during the next 2 days tell you about the Niners' draft plans? Will the New England Patriots be the team that gives up a second or third round pick?
You know what's fascinating about this is that you don't hear anything out of San Francisco. It's not a place where there's a ton of rumors. Even when they traded for Garoppolo, that was a bit of a surprise. You didn't know that was coming. Obviously, they made that deal with the Bears. You didn't know that was coming. They seem to be able to do some things, and they don't really have a lot of information out there. So the very fact that Garoppolo is on the market and he's going to be traded, the fact that that's out there makes me believe that they want that out there, that they have decided to draft Mac Jones, and therefore they're going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. That if they were going to take another quarterback, listen, they got a lot of money committed to the position. So if you take a guy, you know, you got to be careful about not having all your money in one position. But if Jimmy Garoppolo is your guy, if you're starting him, then you take Trey Lance. Then you take Justin Fields, and you let them develop a little bit with a year of Garoppolo. That's what their stated plan was. But now they're talking about, apparently, if word gets out, that means somebody's telling somebody, and word has gotten out. And it seems to me that means they're taking Mac Jones, because he's the guy that could slot in and start playing right away. I think the other guys might need some time. And he also is the guy that could play a similar style, kind of the play-action game that you see from Jimmy Garoppolo. So I think it's the fit in the coach's scheme that we're talking about. That means Mac Jones. If they're trading Garoppolo, it means they're looking for a guy that is extremely accurate, and especially downfield accurate.
But the Patriots, if they have to give up a second or a third, I would hesitate there. I think that's a pretty high price to pay for a guy that might be on the street, 48 hours later. If the rumor is making the rounds, it means the Patriots do want to draft Mac Jones in all likelihood. And if they do, they've got no use to have Garoppolo on the roster. Make them cut him. You know, you're the Patriots. You're not desperate. You may be going up in the first round to get a quarterback yourself. You may end up with Justin Fields. What do you need Jimmy Garoppolo for? Maybe you want him as the veteran presence, but you don't want to pay a second or third round pick for him. So I think you would wait. I think you should wait and see what happens. I can't believe how quickly his stock has fallen throughout the NFL. Maybe it's because of the availability issue, but he's a really solid quarterback, I think, that you could win some games with. How would you feel in Chicago if he were your QB1 instead of Andy Dalton? I think you'd feel pretty good heading into 2021. There's some limitations, obviously, but if I were the Patriots, I wouldn't pay that steep of a price for a quarterback that might be a free agent and on the street after the draft.
It's a pick six.
What do you think of Ian Happ's lineup free fall from leadoff to fifth to eighth? Will he be behind the pitcher next? Is his 145 average a problem, a temporary issue, or just bad luck? Does dropping in the lineup take pressure off or put it on Happ?
I just think it puts more on him. I mean, you heard David Ross. Is that, yeah, the walks are good. He's got a hit. 145. I don't care how many metrics you introduce into the equation or how many hard hit balls or how many walks he's taking. 145 is 145. He cannot hit this year. He's striking out way too much. He's a former first round draft pick. This was the time in his career where you're supposed to be, you know, expecting more out of Ian Happ, and it's disappointing that you're not getting him. So this was, I don't know how much further down he can go in the order, but not far enough.
Yeah, I'm with you, David. I think it puts more pressure on him. I know that you heard Rossi say, well, we're taking pressure off him. I think dropping from 1 to 8, what's next? Do you line up behind the pitcher? That is a horrible idea. Pressure's on him.
That is a pick six!
Do you have a woozy stomach or other flu-like symptoms after learning that Luis Robert was put on the 10-day injured list after feeling flu-like symptoms on Monday? Is he the player the White Sox can least afford to lose?
It made me sick because he's the player they can least afford to lose, because he's the guy that covers 1.5 fields, and he makes up for the fact that Aloy is out. So I was heartily disturbed and very upset, and I'm not feeling well right now.
Well, I hope you're feeling better, but he is not the player they can least afford to lose so far this season, 22 games in. Jose Abreu, Tim Anderson, I think those guys are probably more valuable. Maybe Liam Hendricks, even though you have a bullpen to cover. But, yeah, Luis Robert is up there. Let's hope he feels better soon. And out of an abundance of caution, the Sox are acting, and I think it's probably the smartest thing to do, but let's hope it doesn't last long.
Can you believe this?
How important is the Bulls' defensive effort tonight, knowing Tom Thibodeau's Knicks are number one in the NBA in points allowed at around 104 per game? Will Derrick Rose be the man who applies the dagger to the playoff dream?
Well, I think the dagger to the playoff dream may have been already, applied without Derrick Rose having to twist it, but I think he could do that tonight. 18-8 the Knicks are with Derrick Rose in the lineup. You'd love to see that kind of resurgence from a guy at 32 years old who just understands the game as well as he ever has. I've got a lot of time for Tom Thibodeau. I think he is definitely one of the better coaches in the NBA. No surprise the Knicks are responding with Taj and Derrick Rose. It's going to be like old home week tonight.
I got to tell you, Derrick Rose is playing great. Since that trade, he's played very well. He's really brought that team together. I'm worried about the point guard trying to defend a point guard. I'm concerned about whether the Bulls can keep the Knicks down, because they really got to play good defense in this game. They've got to match that intensity that a Tibbs team brings to every game they play. The Knicks won, like, what, 8 in a row or something, and then had a loss. They are a good team because of Tibbs. That doesn't mean they're going to be able to raise their level when you hit the playoffs and all that stuff, but they're getting the most out of their talent, so that is scary stuff. And the Bulls may already be eliminated, but you got to win this game if you're serious about staying in it. All right, that is, of course, the Pick Six. We got Michael Lombardi next. We'll get a chance to talk to the Odyssey NFL insider. Can't wait to ask him about everything going on with the Bears. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I think when we trade up for guys, it's the first thing that comes to my mind, Kevin, is the conviction that we have throughout our building. You know, so you know when there's kind of a consensus pick, and you can feel it from our coaches and scouts. And I know that everybody's going to be excited of when we make that selection and walk out of that room. It gives me more confidence to go do that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Ryan Pace. That was him during his prescribed little draft powwow, which lasted the exact 20 minutes required. And joining the show now is Odyssey NFL insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights that the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Michael on the GM Shuffle, his weekly podcast, available on the Odyssey app. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Michael.
I am great. Thank you. How are you?
You know, we're both a little bit. We had a long conversation after we got off the air. We sat in on Ryan Pace and his little draft powwow, and then we talked about it later in the day. And there wasn't a lot of information there because, he, you know, when you begin a news conference with an apology that you can't really answer any questions, you know it's not going to be a great one. But you just heard the cut on the way in. He talked about consensus. He talked about having conviction in the building. And I was just curious, you know, you've been in the room and you've seen guys make calls that may have been popular or unpopular, but they made the call. You've made that call yourself. How important is consensus? Does having everybody nodding their head, I'm a bobblehead, does that make you more likely to feel confident? Does that increase your chance to make a big move? What did you think of that comment?
Well, I totally disagree with the comment. And let me tell you a little story. In 1987, Bill Walsh told me to go round up everybody, and there was an impromptu meeting going to be held in the offensive meeting room at 711 Nevada Street. So I went and I told Mike Holmgren, I told George Seifert, I told Ray Rhodes, I told Bob McKittrick, I told Denny Green, I told Lynn Stiles, Fred Von Appen, Bill McPherson. Everybody went in there. Coach Walsh walked in. He told me to stay there for a second. He said, look, I have a chance to trade for Steve Young. It's going to cost us $1 million of Eddie's money and a fourth round pick. Eddie, put your hands up if you're in favor of the deal. Nobody put their hand up. Walsh said, you mean nobody thinks we should do this? Nobody thought we should do it. Now, they were all really loyal to Joe Montana. He walks out of the room. He says, Michael, go pick up Steve Young at the airport. These guys are clueless. He didn't have consensus. He could care less about consensus. Consensus is just a nice term that scouts use, that personnel directors use. He had consensus. It doesn't mean anything. There's no way. In fact, if you read Daniel Kahneman's new book called Noise, consensus is really nothing but noise that you're making a bad decision. Because here's the reality. Not everybody is as well informed on as this for the decision as you are. That's why they're paying you $3 million a year or $4 million a year. You know, people tell you one of Bill Gates's biggest problems he has when he goes to a meeting is that he feels like nobody will challenge him because he knows everybody thinks he's the smartest person in the room. That's a real problem.
So, Michael, knowing that, in that context, you go into this draft and you're Ryan Pace and you have swung for the fences before at the draft and missed and whiffed. And so now you do still need a quarterback, but the price is pretty steep. How do you prioritize moving up to maybe be in a position to draft one of the five likely to go in the first round versus standing at 20 and staying there, knowing the roster as you do, and getting a player that might be likely to help you week one?
Well, I think he's got to grade the board, you know, honestly, and I think he's got to take away the reality of the situation. And the reality of the situation, and I wrote this at the Athletic, is that, you know, no quarterback's going to help Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy keep his job this year. You know, if they draft Fields or if they draft Lance, the two players that could be available after three, then, you know, it's going to be a redshirt year for both players. That doesn't really help the Bears win games next year. It may help their franchise in the future, but it doesn't help them win games next year. So for me, he's got to grade them as just as strictly, just basically. And if they start to slip in the draft, we'll find out if he has them graded high enough to go get them. But I think he's got to wait till at least Carolina's on the clock before he can really weigh the value of trading up from the 20 to get that player at 8 or to get him at 10 or to get him at 9, somewhere in there. So it's really all predicated on when you trade up, you know, it's predicated on you have this guy graded so high, you better go get him. If he's graded with a cluster of players, it makes no sense to give up assets to get him.
You know, it's fascinating because I think when we look at the Bears and we think about what they want to do, they've gone out and they've gotten Andy Dalton, and that doesn't seem to be a solution. It seems to be a stopgap measure. Here's a guy that can come in and get you through a season. Now, I don't know, you know, when you heard the Bears at the end of the season, they seemed pretty proud of what they had accomplished, that no other team had lost 6 in a row and made the playoffs. A weird thing to be proud of. But at any rate, when you look at where they're at, do we know that the coach is in trouble, that the GM's in trouble? I think there's a lot of assumption, but it's not coming out of that building. They don't seem to, you know, they left them in their positions despite whatever issues there were. Does that mean that they have carte blanche to do whatever they want? How does leadership reflect itself in ownership?
Well, I think, look, there's no doubt that, you know, they're not, you know, that no one in the building thinks they're in trouble. They're going to operate as if they are. But what I think I found really interesting is Vegas posted their win totals for the season, and they had the Bears at 7. If the Bears have a 7-10 season next year, do you think everybody's safe in Hallis Hall? If the Bears are 6-11 next year, do you think everybody's safe in Hallis Hall? I don't know if they could sell that to the public. And I think, you know, they have to improve their team as if they every year is a year you've got to prove your team, whether the rhetoric in May is everybody's safe, because we know as the year goes on, you could lose your job. You can go to the playoffs, and then the next year you lose your job. So I think they've got to do what they possibly best thing they can do to build their team to win in the present and then in the future. And look, I think a lot of the conversations that you have to have about the Bears start on their defense. They're getting older on defense. Can they cover well enough in the back end? They were the 32nd team in the National Football League last year when they blitzed and the quarterback rating against them. So that's an issue. They didn't get the year they needed out of Mac. They got to keep Akeem Hicks healthy. They've got to be able to dominate with their defensive front. And they've got to be able to cover in the back end. Now, I think they're helped themselves by changing the scheme, giving themselves some more flexibility like they had when Vic Fangio was there. But the reality of it is they're going to improve their talent level on defense. This isn't a defense that just rolls out there and just shuts people down and holds them to 10 points. A, that doesn't happen anymore in the NFL. And B, I don't know if they have the players in the secondary to do that.
Michael, one of the more intriguing players in the first round, you talk about that defense with the Bears. They'll be looking at possibly drafting cornerback Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. He's got a very checkered past medically. Some of the news reports yesterday and this morning, the breaking news is that he just tested positive for COVID on Tuesday. Not that that might affect his draft status, but certainly his health history will when there's so many unknowns, whether we didn't have the NFL combine this year. Where do you see a guy like Caleb Farley potentially dropping to, and how would you interpret some of the murky medical history?
You know, I think that's the hardest thing to gauge in the draft. When I do VSiN on my show every day, we talk about draft props, and, you know, there's a ton of draft props you can make a lot of money on. But when you're dealing with medical, that's the one area I can't predict. Like, I've really felt very comfortable saying Justin Fields wasn't going three. People are going to make money on that. I felt very comfortable saying that Mac Jones would be the third pick. I felt comfortable thinking that Kyle Pitts is going to go under 5.5, which was his prop. I'm not comfortable predicting the medical. Why? Because I don't know the 32 teams, how they're handling the medical. That's subjective to every different team. I just was on the phone before you called with an NFL team, and I asked them about Farley. I said, where do you have him? He said, well, you know, we have him off, but some teams have him on, some teams have him in the second. He said, I just really can't tell you where he's going to go, and I think that's the reality. If someone takes him early, it's a medical risk according to some teams, and it won't be. You know, when the 49ers took Reuben Foster, I said it before the draft, I said he was slipping medically, and everybody said I was crazy. And he slipped all the way down to 31. The 49ers passed him, but he never medically could clear himself. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. That's a hard one for me to predict.
Michael, thanks a ton. You're the best. Appreciate it.
Great stuff.
Thanks, guys. Good luck.
Thank you.
I think the Bears will need it. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real, proven analytics. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Michael on the GM Shuffle, his weekly podcast, available on the Odyssey app. 312-644-6767. Interesting stuff from Michael. Does it change your opinion of what the Bears should do in the draft? Mully and Haw on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!